You're now listening to Wisdom from North podcast with me, Jannike Øynes. Here I will explore topics such as metaphysics, spirituality, personal growth, and in general, how we can create good lives for ourselves. My intention is to find some answers, but perhaps more importantly, finding new questions to ask, because there is always something new to discover in this wonderful universe that we live in. In Wisdom from North, we're passionate about helping you take your spiritual growth to that next level. That's why we are collaborating with some amazing spiritual teachers and partners who offer free webinars and classes. Go to wisdomfromnorth.com/free. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this podcast belong to the guests and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of Wisdom from North or any entities they may represent. Now, please enjoy the episode.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm excited for our conversation, and I'm excited to learn more about the stream of David, because you are a channeler. You're actually channeling Source itself. And I love that, because it's actually quite peculiar that I haven't come across anybody who has actually channeled Source itself. Like, usually people channel a being, maybe a starseed, an angel, a master, but you're actually channeling Source, and you also are the founder of Taya. I hope I pronounced it correctly.
You are. Thank you.
Good. Which stands for Trust Your Abundance. And I'd love to get into that, because in that title, it says that abundance is for all of us. And maybe we can even dive into some channeling today and actually hear from Source itself. But before we do, Source, when you started channeling, wasn't that quite mind-blowing, realizing that you were actually channeling Source itself, like God?
It is and was. It took me decades to wrap my head around that. Because we are taught that it's blasphemous to say, if you grew up in, you know, a Christian religion, it's blasphemous to claim to be God or speaking for God. I'm not claiming to be Source, and I'm not claiming any type of divine ability beyond a talent that I have for tuning into Source and speaking and writing it. I think everyone has a talent. You know, the singers sing. I've heard Adele say that she's channeling from somewhere when she sings. We all channel in our own way. And I do believe Source encompasses the entire energetic realm. And it's natural for us to sort of humanize the energetic realm. So it's easy to drop into sort of thinking about a being that you're channeling. But really, it's all Source. I believe it's all Source. But I also understand the mindset of, well, I don't want to say that I'm channeling Source. What am I really tuning into? And creating the reality of I'm tuning into an archangel or an ascended master or something like that. So I totally understand that. The who are you was a big question of mine. And this happened probably 15, 20 years ago when I was really getting into channeling and understanding that what had been coming to me my whole life was something that I had the ability to share, that who are you? What do I call you? And as I was saying, when we first met, the reason that what I channel doesn't have a name, it's because it's not human. It never has been. I don't need to humanize it. It's not gendered. You know, you notice a lot of people channel a male entity. And I think all of that really stems back to religion. And I wanted to strip away humanity from it as much as possible. Because if I'm just channeling something from the perspective of humanity, that's just my ego and my opinion. That's why I separate the two out. When I'm channeling, especially when I'm in trance and when I get really going teaching, the channeling just starts happening automatically. But when I call in the stream, my intentionality behind it is to strip away humanity as much as possible and offer something that is pure source. And that's what happened. And what I did with those teachings, however, is somewhat unique in that I decided to create a mindset practice around the teachings so that any of us can apply what they are offering to us. And that's where Taya came from. And in the beginning, the term trust your abundance just sort of popped up. But when I say abundance, I don't just mean financial abundance. It can be financial abundance, but abundance of joy, abundance of happiness, abundance of well-being, because that's what source is. We identify source as love, and I identify it as love of all things, even the things unwanted. And when you hear from the stream, you'll start to really understand what we mean by that and the gifts and all of that.
That is very interesting. And in a way, I get what you're meaning, that it doesn't need to have a name, and people who are channeling, you know, a part of source or source anyway. But I think what we tend to think, if people say God or source, is that, oh, this is, you know, the highest of the highest, like the purest of the purest, like the all-knowing, all there is, like you can't connect with anybody above that. So it's sort of this hierarchy, from what I understand you're saying, is that it's all the same in a way.
Absolutely. When I channel source will be the first to say, they, and I refer to they just because it makes sense when we're in conversation, they are everything. They are all things. So if you are identifying something as a specific being, that's not wrong and it's not untrue. You are creating that reality. We create these realities with our minds, not understanding sometimes that everything is energy first, everything is thought first. So a thought creation is as real in that realm as a physical, tangible creation is in our realm. So if you are creating the experience of channeling a specific being, and the people that are listening are lit up by it and give it power, that's as real as anything else. That's as real as something materializing right here beside me and speaking. And the reason I'm so general about source is because it is all things, but it's not hierarchical, as you said. It's not the master of all. There's no rules. There's no judgment. There's no measurement. It is literal, authentic appreciation of all things. If you really want to boil down what is source, that is source. It is pure well-being, pure love, pure appreciation without judgment.
I appreciate that you're saying that. I remember when I interviewed Neil Donald Walsh, and also when I discovered him, it made such an impression that he was communicating with God. And I think it got very well known because there weren't many people who said that they were communicating directly with God. And I think we have this tradition that we sort of have to go to the middleman instead of going directly
right to
God. So it's great that you're saying that, because I feel like really our concepts and are changing within, you know, the spiritual community. It's not that it is a community at all, but I think, you know what I mean, that things are evolving and we are understanding that we're much more powerful. I think we're sort of moving away from that I'm the small being and God is up there. It's like, well, I'm God as well.
We are expressions of that. Exactly. We are all expressions of God or source. Those two are interchangeable to me. I use source simply because when you say God, people start going down the religion path. I met somebody over the weekend and told her what I did. And she's, oh, no, and I swore in front of you. I'm like, I swear all the time. What are you talking about? No, those are human created words and human created rules around those words. I'm not teaching rules and heaven and hell and all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, we're talking abundance and well-being. How do you live life in appreciation of the exact world that we're in and the exact life that you're living, not needing anything to change?
I'm excited to dive into the teaching. But before that, I'm curious, like, how you got into all of this. Have you always been channeling source from you were a little kid? Was this a natural thing for you? Or was it sort of a, or all of a sudden, like, your life changed, something happened? Because I usually see that with people, that something happens in their lives that makes them open up, like crack open. So what is your story?
Mine was a very long burn, if you will. I look back now and realize that, first of all, I think we all channel source all the time, but I think that we develop an ego that drowns it out largely in early childhood. Our early childhood experiences teach us, in this matrix of collective consciousness that we live in, teach us to sort of ignore that and listen to the rules. You need to go to school. You need to learn, you know, all those subjects you're taught in school. You go to, if you're raised in religion, you're going to learn all of those rules. And the more rules and the more division that we learn and the more our ego engages, the more we're sort of just drowning out that source message. And we always have a level of intuition. And sometimes when we have a traumatic event, we sort of have nothing left to return to but that. And that's when we can have these big explosive awakening experiences. For me, it wasn't like that. What happened for me is I was born to two parents who were trying to have a child to fix their bad marriage, and it didn't work. And when the marriage dissolved, it was sort of my fault. So my father went on when I was six and started another family, and my mother fought for custody to get back at my father, but then didn't want to be a parent to me. And so I was really left to my own devices. I was the youngest of two. And I had nothing to turn to or to guide me other than source. So I didn't really believe what I was being taught in school. I wasn't a good student. I was not, I was raised in religion, although I didn't believe that. I was actually asked to leave Sunday school at one point very early on. And so I was really left to only go inward. And I went inward and stayed there, essentially. And I understood conscious creation by the time I was a teenager. So at 14 was a big turning point because we were very poor. I came to understand that I don't have to stay stuck in this poor zone, even if I'm not a good student. My brother was an excellent student, and his path was laid out for him that you're going to get a scholarship, you're going to go to college, you're going to have this great career. I didn't have that. All I had was belief that if I believe I'm going to be successful, I will be successful. And that started happening for me at 14, 15 years of age. I started manifesting material things. And I went all the way through my 20s and 30s really focusing on manifesting materially because I thought that's what happiness was. If you have a big house and a fancy car and, you know, nice vacations and eating at fancy restaurants, that's happiness. When I finally manifested all of that was when I realized, well, wait a minute, I'm still not really happy. What's wrong? So in my 40s was when I really went inward. I started meditating. I went to a lot deeper depth within me. And in 2010, I had what many people call a Kundalini awakening, where this energy sort of erupted at the base of my spine and sort of electrified me. And that electrification continues to this day. And I call that source within me. And I believe we all have that, whether you ever have a Kundalini experience or not, we all have a version of that. So as far as, you know, a major turning point, there really wasn't beyond the Kundalini experience, which happened in 2010. Since then, I have quit my corporate job. I've started channeling, you know, for a living. I created the Taya practice. I wrote a couple of books. I have the Stream of David podcast. I've had that since 2017. And I devote all of my time now to sharing this message, the stream and channeling form and their teachings and the application of it in the form of Taya.
Fascinating. Kundalini awakening. I've watched a couple of videos with you, but I didn't know that. And I recently interviewed another guest who had a Kundalini awakening. And I find that so interesting that some have it and others have an awakening and they don't have a Kundalini awakening or Kundalini arising. Do you have any thoughts about why some have this Kundalini awakening?
For me, I think it's something that I let build up for my whole lifetime. And when I started quieting my mind and meditating, it's something that I'd gone into that inner knowing for advice and guidance in my life and really listened to it, but I didn't really go into fully allowing it. So I had sort of let it build up pressure over time, if you will. And when I began meditating, I did not know what that was. I didn't know it existed. I was completely ignorant of the whole thing. I had not read a lot of spiritual books. When I say going inward, I mean I went inward. I didn't read a lot of other external things at all, beyond fiction. And so I believe that when I started meditating, it was only, I'd only meditated a couple of times. And I wasn't in a specific posture. It was nothing fancy. Nobody taught me how to do this. I just sat and breathed and quieted my mind. And I will tell you that I had lived a life where I needed noise around me all the time prior to this. I needed to have the radio on or television or something all the time. I didn't like being in silence. Now I understand why. But at that time, I didn't meditate. I wasn't in silence. And it's like it was always there. I had tapped into it to a point my whole life. And here I was in my early 40s, quieting my mind, breathing, and boom, it just happened. And I think that if you go looking for something, you activate what I call the vibration of need and you tend to chase it away. The reason I was successful in having this awakening is because I wasn't looking for it.
That's interesting. But what about focusing on something and where attention goes, energy flows?
Well, think about it. I talk a lot about the vibration of need. When you think you need something, if you're a spiritual practitioner and you believe you need a Kundalini awakening, the universe always answers yes to everything. Just like when someone believes they need money, it's so much so they never manifest it. Or if they do, they don't keep it for very long. Because the vibration of need is different than the more benign vibration of simply appreciating something. So when you're putting energy towards something in appreciation, and let's use money for an example. I love money. I love to hear about people being successful with money, whether I have it or not, that's my vibration. I love that. Good for them. This is a magical world. All my needs are met. I don't need to have what they have. I just appreciate it. That's giving positive energy toward this subject of wealth, right? When I start trying, I'm going to do mantras every day. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to make myself rich in my mind. What you're activating is what I call the vibration of need. And the universe only answers yes. It's very important to remember that. Only answers yes. It's not judging our experience at all. And there's evidence of that everywhere. That's why bad things happen to good people, because the universe is answering yes to their vibration, not answering a judgment of what their deeds are. So if you think you need it and you are, trying to make it happen, the universe is going to say, yes, you need that. And you're going to continue to need it as long as you believe you need it. It's a tricky thing because, we're taught all of these tools and tricks that you're to manifest. But what I notice is that whenever I get into a needy space, I chase the thing away that I believe that I need. When I stop believing that I need it and stop demonizing it, which I don't do at all anymore with any topic, then it's benign. It's just appreciation. Just appreciation is enough. That's a great vibration if you want to manifest something. So be appreciative of your meditation. Be appreciative of Kundalini awakenings exist. Whether you ever have one or not, you are a whole being. You are a being of source. You are a being of light. Doesn't matter. If you have one, great. If you don't, that's fine too. If that's your authentic vibe, I believe you are much more in alignment with having that type of experience.
That is what is interesting and tricky, because if we want to manifest something, there is a need there. And in that, and I heard this so many times, the teaching of letting go is there. And how could you let go of something that you actually need? Because that's a really high vibrational place to be, where you just let go. But I find that it's really human to have needs. And actually, there's a lot of teaching of expressing your needs. I need this. I need you to be kind to me. I need you to respect me. I need to take care of my needs. I mean, so we have also healthy needs. So it's sort of interesting that the universe is like that, that when you try, oh no, then. But if you just relax, it just comes to you.
That's true. That's true. And the reason the universe is a non-judgmental entity is because we are not here just to manifest abundance. Because think about it. If you have a life where you have no challenge, no problems to solve, you are in pure abundance and nobody's ever there, because even the people that are born into very abundant lives will find a way to change that on some level, whether it's through illness or relationships or addiction or something of that nature. No one is having a perfect life experience. There's no evidence of that at all. And the reason is because our consciousness expands some in the wanting of things or the wanting to experience the things that we prefer here on earth. But we expand our consciousness more in the creation. Where do we create from? We create from a place of believing that we need something, or we want to experience it. I want to experience this whirlwind vacation so I can go into the vibration of need and just always be reaching for it. Or I can allow it to manifest and look back and realize how I created it, how I created the money, the time, planned the trip, did all of that stuff. And we've all created things and sort of look back and think, God, how did I even do that? It just happened magically from nowhere. Well, that's how creation occurs. And that expands our consciousness. And when we expand our consciousness, we are expanding our consciousness eternally as a strand of consciousness, or strand of source. And that expands source. And when source expands, the universe expands. And even scientists say the universe is always expanding. Well, that's how. It's becoming a more sophisticated version of itself. And I believe that that is expressed here on Earth as we are becoming a more sophisticated version of ourselves as humanity.
This is maybe a question for the stream, but I'll ask you, speaking of need, do you think we need to meditate to have an awakening?
No. In fact, I think meditation is a good practice in our modern, way of life, because there's so much stimulation around us all the time. And if you are overstimulated, as I was, needing to have, noise on around me all the time, then you're drowning out a lot of your own natural source connection. I do more appreciation exercises, and they're not even exercises anymore. It's just a way of being now. But I wasn't taught to appreciate. I was taught to live in fear and anxiety like everybody else, worrying about everything all the time. But I found that when I shifted my focus to appreciation, blue sky, a tree, a dog playing in front of me, a cup of coffee, when I started making a daily practice of what can I appreciate in this moment, it raised my vibration. So the concept of meditation is about quieting your mind, thus quieting your ego, and allowing the source being within you to sort of step forward. It's always there. It doesn't forsake us ever. We forsake it and drowning it out with fear and judgment and all of that stuff. But when we meditate, we are actively calming all that down, which just naturally allows source to step forward. That's what meditation's all about. But there's more ways to get there than just that. Mm. So if you're trying to teach yourself to meditate and you're frustrated that you're not doing it right, well, you're already lowering your vibration and your judgment of it. So better to go actively appreciate something than to try to sit and quiet your mind. But I will say with that, you can teach yourself to meditate. And I love being in silence now. I love sitting and breathing and just being in silence or out in nature. That raises my vibration, but all day, every day, I don't want to sit and meditate my life away. I want to do stuff like this. So here I am talking to you, appreciating the experience. I am allowing source in this moment, and anyone that's listening and this is lighting you up, you're allowing source as well.
I love that, because I hear a lot of people coming to me and a lot of men actually saying, like, I can't meditate, I can't sit down, and how can I start the spiritual journey? And sometimes I'm like, what are the tips I'm going to give? Like, because I know when you meditate, you get in connection with yourself. That has been my tool, but that I love that appreciation and gratefulness. That's a beautiful place to start, because that has a high vibration already. I'd love to learn more about the core teaching that of Taya, or the core teaching from the source, your source that you're channeling. Would it be beneficial to go into channeling, or would sure. you? Yeah. Maybe that's
always beneficial to bring source in directly,
right? Okay. Okay, let's do it. So how right, does so this work?
What I say is we're going to have a moment of silence. I'm going to breathe. What I invite everybody that's interacting with us now or even later on a recording, to do is to do that with us. Take a moment to quiet your mind, do a little bit of breath work, and together we're going to bring Source in. Okay. And they will announce themselves when they're here, and then you just sort of ask questions, and then it just sort of takes off from there.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
We are here.
All right. Thank you for being here today. The first question I would like to ask is, for us who are consciously on this spiritual journey, and we're doing our practices and we're fully immersed in it, we may have partners, family, friends who are not, and who we want to help. And I can talk to myself that sometimes I know that all these tools can help, and I wish that this person could only do this because that would help them. But at the same time, I feel a sort of a conflict that, well, that's their destiny, it's their life, and I don't want to intervene too much because they have to learn their lessons. But still, I get frustrated because I so want to help them, and I feel like these spiritual principles and perspectives have helped me so much and so many others. Because when I see people are suffering around me and are in pain, I believe that spiritual perspectives could help them so much, but I don't want to force them to sort of believe in what I believe in. So do you have any thoughts and perspectives on that?
Remember that which you call Source, that's which we are, is authentic appreciation of all that is. David has shared this with you. And when you are appreciating all that is, your ego is not engaged, and therefore you are not feeling a desire to change the experience of another to be in alignment with your experience or your beliefs. So understand and recognize that when you are thinking from that perspective, you are operating more in ego than in Source. Because as Source, we love and appreciate every being exactly as they are for the expansive experience they are having, even if it's something that you might judge as a human being as unwanted or painful or traumatic even. That is a human judgment, and that is something that you have learned in your human path. That is not of Source, because Source is allowing such things and such experiences. If we were a judgmental entity and judging something as should not be, it would not be. But we are not, because you expand your consciousness in the myriad of human experiences. Vibration operates in a spectrum. The energetic realm operates in a spectrum. So it takes all of these experiences and many, many more than you're even aware of to create the vibration that you call humanity in the earth experience. So for you to have the spiritual experience that you're having, there is another that's going to be having something lower vibration than that, less Source, and another yet that's going to have a higher vibration experience than that, more Source. There is no judgment from the energetic realm. There is nothing wrong with any of those experiences. And there is nothing wrong with your human-driven desire to want to help. We understand, we appreciate, and certainly understand your desires for others to experience the higher vibrational way of living that you are choosing with your mindset practice. But it's your journey. And part of your journey may be to lower your vibration a bit and move into that wanting to teach and needing others to have certain types of experiences and creating in that an experience for yourself. Lowering your vibration and having a low vibe experience is a natural part of physical. Every physical environment is polarized. Every physical environment is going to create a scenario where any physically manifested being, regardless of the type of being, is going to be on this sort of up and down roller coaster of vibration. That's not the same thing, however, as the up and down roller coaster of emotion, because the vibration is the experience that you're having in a physical polarized environment. The emotional expression is how you have trained your mind to react to that fluctuation in vibration.
Thank you for that. Now, will we all channel in the future? And are we all able to channel?
Every physical being is an expression of source consciousness. From that perspective, every physically manifested being is channeling in their own way. Your soul, your inner being, your intuition, however you refer to that, all of that is source. And every physically manifested being has that in them. Source is in all things. How you experience that and how you express that, if you choose to do so, is an individual experience. Again, vibration operates in a spectrum, so you are not all here to manifest the experience of being a talented writer or singer or actor or artist or anything else. That includes being one who picks up on these messages and decodes them, if you will, and writes and speaks them the way that David does. It is a unique talent, but what you are seeing as more and more of humanity is evolving and moving themselves out of the matrix. And when we say evolving, we mean you're becoming wise to the matrix. You are understanding like never before. And if you think about past generations, think about your parents and grandparents and their parents and grandparents, how much more outside the matrix you are likely operating than these generations prior. Because as you move through the human journey in linear time, humanity is continually becoming a more sophisticated version of itself. Even if part of humanity is choosing to become hyperpolarized, as David has shared, that's just part of the process of moving out. Because as you move out, the matrix is going to reassert itself because it wants to stay alive as a vibration. It's being challenged. But the more of you that are challenging it, the more of you are going to find yourselves tapping into your inner being, your inner knowing, and speaking it and sharing it in various ways. Once again, on a spectrum, some believing that they are channeling something ancient, some believing they are channeling something from another world, some believing they are channeling a passed on relative perhaps, and some fully stripping all of that away and understanding that what they are channeling is source. And with an intentionality of channeling pure source, what you are receiving is a message that is nothing more nor less than appreciation of all things. It is as simple as that. It's not terribly mystical or complex as some of your spiritual teachings lead you to believe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those things are created in that way to grab attention and to allow some people to believe, because in their belief system, they need it to be complex, or they need it to be scientific, or they need it to be very otherworldly, or they need it to be alien. Because in their belief system, that's how they process and receive information, and that's what they are choosing to give their power to. You are all the power, and anything you choose to give your power to is the right path for you, because that is what's allowing you to create the reality that you desire for yourselves.
Interesting. Maybe a silly question. You mentioned the matrix. So what is really the matrix? In one way, I know what the matrix is, but maybe you have another perspective on what the matrix is.
We use the term the matrix to simply describe the collective consciousness of humanity. There's collective consciousness of planet Earth. There's collective consciousness of every type of being in your world, physically manifested being, and including plants and animals and everything else. The collective consciousness of humanity, however, is a mutation in your world. You have evolved your consciousness more than the other beings in your world at the time that you were perceiving as you are now. And in doing so, you have created all of these tools and belief systems for yourselves that have advanced you in some ways and certainly brought about harm in other ways. Because you're in a polarized environment, you are going to have that positive and negative aspect to everything that you experience and everything certainly that you create.
Being human is challenging sometimes, I find. It seems like we are in a sort of a conflict with ourselves and that we don't know ourselves. And I can find myself noticing inner states that are new all the time that I don't really
understand. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Understand what is about. Like, why am I feeling this now? Why did I get annoyed all of a sudden? Why did I get impatient? I got a burst of joy. Like, there's so much things happening within me. And I find that I judge a bit the lower vibrations. And when I'm feeling happy and excited and being kind to other people and feeling that like I'm in flow, then I like myself better. And I try not to judge, but still these states, that these lower states of being, when they come, I do find myself being having resistance towards that. Like, I don't want to feel this way, even though the spiritual teachings that I've sort of taken in and learned is that I shouldn't judge that. I should just let it, you know, flow through my body.
This is because you are moving through this up and down vibrational flow, as you have indicated, and you have created for yourself, and understand that you are all creating your reality for yourselves. There are no strands of consciousness that are projecting into you, even though you may feel that way. We have certainly heard human beings state that there are demonic or evil forces that are dragging them down. You are having a lower vibrational experience, which serves to separate you from source consciousness, from our energy. And what that does for you, however, it allows you to manifest some unwanted things. And when you manifest unwanted things, you are then presenting yourself with an opportunity to expand your consciousness in the moving through the experience and the solving of the experience and the knowledge that is available to you, the awareness of what exists in your lower vibrational register. We have playfully referred to this as your vibrational basement, because when you dip down in a lower vibration and you are triggered by something, and you, as you said, the first thing you ask is why. That's a very good question for you all to ask yourselves. Why am I experiencing it? Not why am I down in lower vibration, but why am I experiencing lower vibration in this way? Why am I being triggered? Why am I observing this negative thing that keeps reoccurring in my life over and over again? Well, the reason is because you've got these beliefs and these experiences with a judgment against them, as should not be, residing full time in your vibrational basement. And they're always there. They're always running in your subconscious mind. It's part of your belief system until you clear it. So you have these things that, and you know you're down there when you don't feel as good, when you're not as joyful. And then you also know you're down there when you're easily triggered by things. So instead of beating yourselves up emotionally for being in a lower vibrational state, regardless of how much spiritual practice you do, you are not going to solve polarity as long as you're in physical. You're not going to solve this vibrational flow. You're always going to dip down. But how you experience the lower vibration is something that you have complete control over, because you have created all of those beliefs from your past experiences, all the way back even prior to your physical birth. You started discerning preferences in the womb, and your ego component is a natural discerner of preference. As long as you're in physical, you are going to have these preferences. There are things that I want to experience, and there's things that I do not want to experience. But the judgment of them is a very different thing. The judgment of this should not be, that should not have been, I should not have had that happen to me, I should not have experienced that, I should not have been treated that way, that other shouldn't have never done that to me. All of those judgments, all of that is a creation of your matrix. Notice how your animals do not hang themselves up on the should not be. Certainly they have preferences. Certainly they have things that they don't want to experience. But once the experience is finished, they are not holding on to the memory and rebranding it as something that should have never happened. It may inform their decisions and inform their behavior, but they are moving forward more efficiently than humanity is. Because humanity is, you have taught yourselves all of these judgments. So what we guide you to do, and this is why we delivered the Taya practice through David, the Taya practice allows you to take these concepts, because we understand that you understand the concept of appreciation of all that is and not being triggered and not judging and things like that. But actually applying that in your modern day physical reality, where you are fed judgment and fear on a regular basis, regardless of what you consume or not, it is built into almost everything that humanity does at this point. So the practice actually gives you the tools and the practice to start living that mindset on an all-day, everyday basis, as opposed to just when you're consuming teaching such as this, feeling really good about it, but then getting back into your life and turning on the news or opening an email or dealing with a coworker or a family member and going right back into your previous vibration. It's a habit of thought, but it's a habit of thought that you created. Therefore, you can change.
Yes, I would love to move over to actually the Taya practice, what that is about, and it stands for trust your abundance. And I would love to learn more about how we can trust our abundance, because if there's one thing a lot of us are not trusting, it is that we have abundance. It's the opposite, that we have to survive and work hard for it. So yeah, how can we trust our abundance?
The reason David created the name Trust Your Abundance is because he taught himself over a period of many, many years that everything boils down to humanity's ability to trust their well-being. The universe, i.e. source, that which we are delivering nothing but well-being to planet Earth all the time. Again, there is evidence of this all around. You notice that when a storm comes through, and a storm is always a creation of a lower vibrational flow, will come through and bring destruction upon a natural setting, a forest, so to speak. Some of the beings in that forest, and certainly some of the vegetation, will return its physical being to the planet. The energy will be pulled out of it. The physical being will be returned. The death experience, as humanity tends to call it. But there's no real death. The energy that is driving the vegetation and the physical beings moves on. It's infinite, as we are. But the physical vehicle returns and feeds the earth. It's part of the earth. And then what happens? That vegetation and those beings come back stronger, wiser, more evolved, more able to deal with such things the next go-round. Well-being always returns. This is true for humanity as well. But you've created this world where you are far more controllable and more pliable for your leaders when you don't believe that, when you don't believe that well-being is natural for you, when you believe that there's certain things that you must do to have a joyful existence, that there's things that you, people you have to work for, there's taxes that have to be paid, all of these belief systems that come up that are created to lower your vibration. We are not guiding you, however, to disconnect from all of that, to stop working and stop paying your taxes and stop paying your bills and allow well-being just to be. If you can authentically wrap your mind around that existence, that will be for you. However, training yourselves instantaneously to have that belief system as a solid vibration, you do not shift your vibration that dramatically in an instant. That would take a long time and a lot of trial and error for you to be able to achieve that. So where we guide you in the practice is to detune your judgment and fear around all of those things, thus allowing well-being to ramp up as a greater and greater and greater asset in your life experience.
Very interesting. When it comes to reality, are we living in different realities? So let's say that I'm doing these practices. I'm changing my belief systems. In the way that I am not having negative thoughts or thoughts about limitations, and I open up to abundance, then I can actually receive wonderful things while a person next to me are not receiving the same. And in a way, we're actually living in two different realities where things are just flowing my way. Let's say that I didn't have any blockages and things are not flowing to this other person. Or are we living in the same reality?
You are living in a physical environment that is a creation of the collective consciousness of all of the beings that are in it. However, how you are perceiving that environment is your own unique creation. So if you are using the term reality in regard to that, absolutely, you are all creating your own independent reality. And there is plenty of evidence for this for you as well. Think about two siblings that grow up in the same household that end up having very different opinions of their childhood. One sibling was a good student and the parents really supported everything that they did. And they grow up talking about how wonderful the parents were and how great childhood was. And it was all amazing. While another sibling that could be only a year apart or so can have a completely opposite experience. School was terrible. The parents were overbearing. There was too much attention. They didn't fit into the matrix the same. They had a horrible childhood. They couldn't wait to get out on their own. And they start sharing stories that sound like they're from completely different households, yet they're not. Same parents, same religion, same economic status, same religious upbringing, but very, very different experiences within that. You all do that. And the good news behind all of this is that you all have the capacity to begin evolving your personal experience to one of joy, clarity, and abundance. You all have the ability to do this, regardless of where you have been or where you are right now. You all have the ability to begin doing that. And you don't begin doing that by fiercely wanting something to change. Because when you want something to change, you are creating a scenario where you are going to stay in a perpetual need of want, because the wanting becomes your vibration. So when you start detuning fear and detuning judgment, especially the judgment of things that you have personally observed or experienced, those past events start to shift for you. And when the past events that inform your now opinion of things begins to shift, then your now opinions begin to shift. Your automatic reaction to what you're experiencing begins to evolve. And if your intention, and intention is different than wanting, intention is simply allowing the universe to know what your desire is in a very appreciative, benign way. You do not have to put great force behind this. Simply setting an intention and leaving it alone and allowing it to be is all the universe needs to drive full-blown physical manifestation of any and everything. You don't need to keep ordering something up. So set an intention that you want to live a life where you are continually raising your default vibration, where you are living more and more and more as a being of source as opposed to a being of ego, understanding that your ego is always going to be present, but you're shrinking it, you're detuning it, and you're detuning it and shrinking it by detuning fear and judgment and allowing the vibration of appreciation of all things to be your default. When you're doing that, you are allowing well-being. And when you're allowing well-being, you are moving about your life experience in appreciation of all things. And you're noticing in this state that things are starting to go better and better and better for you. The things that used to cross your path, whether it was bumping into a stranger that was angry or having some sort of a traffic incident or having an incident with someone that you work with or that's in your family that's unwanted, those things start to go away. They stop happening because you're learning to appreciate. Back to your earlier question about one who is suffering, the very best that you can do for one who is suffering is appreciate exactly where they are and what they're experiencing and allowing them to have their experience as opposed to trying to change them. Mm-hmm. Notice that doesn't work very well. In fact, the only way you're going to even be able to communicate with them in any effective way is to take your vibration to where they are. Are you willing to do that? And if their vibration is far below neutral on the scale, if you are lowering yourself down there, what do you have to offer them in that lower vibrational state anyway? So keeping your vibration high in appreciation of them is actually sending them the positive energy that can allow them to solve the problem for themselves. You are doing more good in your appreciation of them as they are. So take that mindset and begin applying that throughout every aspect of humanity and understand what a powerful creator you are, and that you can then view anything and everything in authentic appreciation, your life's going to change dramatically.
Yeah, appreciation is really a powerful tool. What is sort of your main message to my audience today?
We have stated it many, many times already, and David stated it before we entered, that source is appreciation of all that is. And if you make a practice of appreciation of all that is enough to significantly transform your life. And of course, the more you do that and the more you present your energetic, and if there's a secondary message to be had here, understanding the value of the energetic state of being is so much more powerful than the physical state of being. And that's good news for all of you, because you can change your energetic state of being with your minds. Regardless of what's happening in your lives, you have the ability to shift your mind around the event that you're experiencing, whatever it is. So when you start shifting toward more appreciation energetically, not only are you making that change for you, you are contributing that change to the whole of humanity and even into the universe. And it is massive. It is massive when you do that.
And speaking of humanity, where are we going? Are we in a big shift of consciousness right now?
You are experiencing David's channeling of this because humanity is in such a transformative state. And the reason that you're at a transformative state is because humanity has evolved to the point of creating the technology that creates humanity. All of this artificial intelligence, all of your tools of communication have made you wiser beings. The state of being where humanity began communicating globally so that you are all coming together and essentially comparing notes. This is what I have experienced. This is what I have encountered. This is my opinion of it. And when you get together and start sharing in that way and start questioning all of your elements of control as you've been doing, that has evolved you significantly. And in this evolution of consciousness, you've become wiser. And in the becoming wiser, you are creating not only the technology of communication, but the technology that thinks the way that you think, even to the point of having human-like emotion. Humanity is creating the technology that creates itself. And this is a magical time for humanity because you are able now to break out of that matrix of control that got you to this place where you're able to do it.
So there's nothing to be afraid of. There's actually something to look forward to.
Understand that there is nothing to fear because you are all eternal strands of consciousness. And we say that because you are here having an experience that you already know is temporary. But since you're an eternal strand of consciousness, and you all are, think of your human life journey and the human or the physical journey of all beings in your world as a grain of sand in an ocean of experiences. You are infinite. And if something were to happen in your world that ended humanity, ended you, or ended your entire environment, the energy that powers all of that does not cease to be. The energy that powers all of that simply moves on to another state that serves it on a higher level that it has become ready for.
That includes us.
That includes you and your pets and every being, every physically manifested being in existence is an expression of that which we are. And that expression exists to have the separation from us experience. Meaning going into low vibration, going into what you call ego for humanity, having problems, having challenges, having some destruction even, and having the experience. It is our promise to you, and we will end with this, that when you are in the energetic realm, when you are on the other side, you look back at your lifetimes in full awareness of all that is, including all of your experiences, in appreciation of all of them exactly as they were. An appreciation of the beginning, middle, and an end, whether you made it out of the womb or not, whether you made it into your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, plus, you appreciate exactly as it was. Even if your point of departure is something that humanity has deemed unsavory, In the energetic realm, it does not matter because it was just an experience that you had. We are guiding humanity to, first of all, understand that you are focused in the earth environment by design so that you can have the earthly experience. But in this heightened sophistication that you've created for yourselves, understand your eternal nature to make better sense of your physical nature and lighten up on yourselves quite a bit, because you place so much pressure on the human experience that you're in, you're missing a lot of the joy, clarity, and abundance that's available in it. Mm. When you take the pressure away, the entire experience evolves to something that is quite magical. Mm. With much love, that is what we have.
Thank you. And David is back.
It's always a little weird when they drop in and drop out, but that was I was very aware. I'm not always really aware. I had some awareness of what was, they're all different. Every time I channel is different.
I was very
aware in that. And maybe I need to lose resistance a little bit more and just really let it go. But they delivered a lot. So your audience is asking for a lot. If your audience wasn't really inquisitive and asking for a lot, you wouldn't have gotten all that. You just got a crash course in the universe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You wanted it or not, you got one. But somebody's wanting it or they wouldn't have come through that way.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like the audience that is listening to Wisdom from North is really wise and deep people who long for the deep, deep answers.
Yeah, stream is not for somebody. Well, it could be, but it's really, I believe you have to sort of work your way to that. I did. And it seems like most people that discover our teachings aren't brand new to spiritual teachings. They've sort of dabbled in some things and they've really expanded their consciousness. And then they're ready for that. I'm not super mainstream. If you go to my TikTok, some of my TikToks do really well. A lot of times when I'm channeling, those don't do well.
Right.
Because not everybody's ready for pure source information. They just don't connect with it.
It's interesting that you brought this up, because I was walking the dog today and I thought about it. And I thought about a good friend of mine, very dear friend, who really wants to open up to spirituality, but he's just not there and he does not believe in life after death and life before death. And he says he wants to believe. And I was just thinking that for me, it has been such a long journey. It has been so many years changing my mindset from feeling like a victim, thinking that it was all about success, making it, having all the stuff, realizing that I'm, you know, a powerful being that can create my own life. I did not believe that when I was 20, and it has taken me such a long time. And maybe you have a few words about that. Does it take a long time still, or is it happening faster now for those who want to wake up, but they like,
I think it's happening faster. Because again, we're connected. We're collective consciousness. Humanity is evolving, not all at the same pace, not all the same way. And one of the things I always say is one of the fastest way to really evolve towards source consciousness is to appreciate those who aren't doing that.
Right.
I see a lot of spiritual circles where we start thinking we're superior because we know everything. We're enlightened. We get it. And they don't. Well, as soon as you're thinking that, well, you're not source anymore. You're back in your damn ego. You know, source is like, love those people. Love those people that are in church every Sunday, believing that the rule book is all there is for them. Or the people that only want to focus on science and the black and white. I would not want to live my life like that. I find so much more joy and magic in the energetic realm. The physical realm is just a tool of all that for expansion. But people that need everything to be 3D, you know, I can't, like your friend, you know, unless it's proven to me, I can't believe it. But there's always something that we're believing that isn't totally proven. We can't prove love, but we all know what that means. We all love something and feel that emotion, but it's not concrete. So there's a little bit of something. And I always say that, if nothing else, it is helpful in our human journey to believe that we're more than just this. If you can't authentically believe that you're eternal, I do authentically believe that we're all eternal beings. And I authentically believe the stream. But if it's too weird and you're not there in that place, and maybe you never will be, at least understand that having a belief system beyond what is physical, all of your creation, like you daydream of getting an education and then you put yourself through college and you have it. You thought it before you did it. Mm. So think about it in terms of that. That's how energy works. Not everybody goes to college. Not everybody gets an education. Not everybody has a career. Not everybody buys a home or gets married and has children. It was a belief or a thought before it became reality. That's true for everyone. And so everybody can identify with that.
That's true. Very helpful. What is the deepest insight, David, that you have received when connecting with the stream?
The deepest insight is really, when I keep saying, I say authentic, they say authentic, because we want to really make everyone understand or allow everyone to understand if they so choose, that you can appreciate all that is. And it's that was a journey for me. I knew I was there, and this is going to be off-putting to some of your audience, so buckle up. In the United States, we have a lot of these mass shootings where somebody comes in and it's senseless. It's horrible. You never want to be part of that. You don't ever want anybody to be part of that. But the first time I read about a mass shooting and it didn't change my vibration, instead of racing down my spiral and that this shouldn't be vibration, I simply went into, I didn't have to avoid it. I didn't have to turn it off and run from it. I'm going to instead appreciate the experience of all that were involved. That's the deepest thing I have ever experienced as a human being, authentically sitting with something like that and saying, these people came together vibrationally and had this experience. They're all eternal strands of consciousness. And yes, it's a painful experience for those that are involved directly, especially the loved ones, but I can appreciate it by understanding it on a deeper level than fearing it and judging it and having to run from it or go deeper into the, you know, banging the drum of this shouldn't be. That was the deepest thing and continues for me because now I practice that. That's all the time for me. That was the deepest thing I've ever experienced as a human being.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm not there yet, but
it took me a long time to get there. But I will tell you something. I've had some significant things happen to me in the past couple of years. Not to me, but around me. My home burned down a little over a year ago. Still not back in it. You know, it's going to take 2 years to get back into this house. That was a big shift. And that was something that I met in appreciation while the house was, you know, on fire and the fire people were, you know, even causing more destruction by putting the fire out. I was just going with the flow. I was like, okay, this is what we're doing now. This is cool. Wow. My partner's mother was living in part of our home and she passed away 4 days after that as a result of it. So it wasn't just, oh, we lost the house and everybody was fine. It was a major event, but it leveled me up. I spent a year after that really leveling up spiritually. My father died last September and traveling back to the funeral and being, I was very involved in all of it. I didn't know what my feelings were going to be. I was open to whatever came. You know, there was a lot of stuff that I detuned. And I told my partner is a psychologist and he said, what's going to come up for you? I said, I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm here for it. Maybe this will get out any leftover baggage that I have around my relationship with him. It's going to bubble up. And there were some things that should have triggered that didn't. Like he didn't leave me anything. So I didn't need his money, but nothing, like no thought for his, you know, two sons, just his second family was all he planned for. And that didn't trigger me. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't upset. I'm like, cool. I've detuned this. Huh. I have authentically detuned, you know, my father. Maybe it took 55 years to get there, but I've done it. And I was very happy that it didn't, but I was ready if there was something that bubbled up. So that detuning of all things, it's a lifetime work.
But do you think we're getting done. Sorry?
I don't think we're ever done detuning.
Right. That makes sense. Do you think perhaps that channeling source helps you raise your vibration so you're able to do that in a sense? Because every time it seems like you're connecting with them, I would assume that you raise your vibration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't have done that today had I not meditated, and I did a live on my channel before I came on here, and I have a session with somebody that's coming into my program right after this. So I knew this morning was going to be this high vibe wave.
Right, right.
But practicing that, and this is what this is why I have a business around this, because I now can do this full time, and the more I channel source, the more source I get. Law of attraction.
Right.
And the more source I get, the more I'm able to observe life, just an appreciation of it exactly the way that it is, not needing anything to change. I don't call myself a healer because I don't believe I'm here to heal anyone. I'm here to share information that could help someone heal themselves. But I don't have a problem with anyone that calls themselves a healer. A lot of my friends do Reiki and things like that, but I don't have that experience. My experience is I'm putting this out there. If you're in alignment with it, I'm here for you. If you're not, that's completely cool with me. But I have found that my life has transformed enormously in the allowing of this. And everybody can. It's not unique to me. The speaking of it may be unique to me somewhat, but the having of the experience internally, absolutely not. Anybody can do that.
Right. And speaking of what you're doing, could you share a little bit about your work and how people can reach you? And you also wanted to offer something special for our audience today.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, first of all, we have the book, The Taya Practice. Let me get it on camera. The Taya Practice is on Amazon. And I believe you have a link where they can click wherever they're watching this, they can click the link and purchase the book on Amazon. It's not a little tiny book. It's a big book because we have the whole Taya practice in here. So all of the stuff the stream is teaching, this is the practical application of their teachings. So this is on Amazon. And also thestreamofdavid.com is my website. You can go there and learn a lot more about these teachings. My podcast is linked there. My academy is linked there. We have guided meditations. We have mini courses. We have a big boot camp that we do. We have all sorts of stuff. If you are on Amazon, just purchase the book through the link that you're providing, and we're good to go. I can't discount Amazon's pricing, but the things that we offer on our website, if you use the offer code WISDOM, all caps, WISDOM, you get a 20% discount on anything that you purchase on our website.
All right. And I'll put the link here somewhere. David, there are three questions that I ask all my guests. And the first one is, what is self-love to you?
To me, self-love is detuning judgment of self. And when we get into spiritual practices, especially if you're into law of attraction, I don't talk a lot about law of attraction because everybody else does. But if you get into law of attraction and you start realizing that you start to realize that you are creating your reality, I think a big pitfall we fall into is beating ourselves up for our negative or unwanted creation. All of it is beautiful. All of it expands our being and our consciousness. I needed my house to burn down. I needed my father. I need those experiences to move through and become a more sophisticated version of me. So that's a big one for me, is to not beat yourself up wherever you are spiritually or wherever you've been.
And what is happiness to you?
Happiness is that, again, all things go back to joy of all things, right? Happiness is to me is to be able to walk outside and appreciate what is. Thunderous clouds, blue skies, it's cold today, it's hot today, the dogs running around, the leaves on the ground, whatever's going on, being able to observe the simplest things in my world and appreciation of what is every day of my life.
And what is the deeper meaning of life from your perspective?
The deepest meaning of life from my perspective is the expansion of consciousness that we create for ourselves in the having of the human experience. There's no positive and negative. There's no trauma. There's no pain. All of that's human created judgment. If we look at it as, okay, I've moved through that experience. I've been cheated on and abused and screwed over in business and had all those human experiences. I've detuned all of that stuff. And now I look back and, wow, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in a brief relationship with a narcissist. I know what it's like to be addicted to drugs. I know what it's like to be 300 pounds. I know what those things are like because I've created those experiences for myself. And I'm a more sophisticated being because I had those experiences.
David, thank you so much for coming to the show today. I would love to have you back one day. And thank you so much for your beautiful work.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening and participating. Again, you bring the stream out. So thank you. And thanks for having me.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you want to become more who you are and live in alignment with your soul's purpose and explore a deeper meaning with your life, then you are most welcome to join Wisdom from North membership. If you want to go deeper, you can find all our English online courses and programs at wisdomfromnorth.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube just by searching for Wisdom from North. Until the next episode, much light from here.